evening's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3 through until verse 9. That's on page 1217 in the Church Bible. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Good evening, everyone. Great to see you all here this evening. Please do keep that passage open. We read from verses 3 to 9. We are going to just look at verses 3 to 5, but it's good to just get a flavour and the context of the passage. Let's begin in prayer. Ask for God's help. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And what a joy and a privilege it is that every week when we come together, we open your word, that it is read and it is preached, you speak to us. Lord, we don't take that for granted, but we thank you for it. And we pray now that you would indeed speak to each one of us, speak your words of life into our hearts and minds, encourage us and excite us, we pray. Fill us full of joy as we hear these wonderful words. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope. There is more. Well, what a joy it has been to proclaim that good news for our mission week. There is more. It's been wonderful to share hope with our friends and family, with our colleagues, with our community. We've seen booked out events, encouraging conversations, people interested in Hope Explored. And also, we've just seen us as a church family united together, serving one another, which has been wonderful to see. There is so much to give thanks to God for. My prayer for us as a church family is that as we have proclaimed that message over the last few days, it would instill in us a greater joy and assurance of that same hope. A hope that if we're trusted in Jesus is already ours, and that is totally, totally secure. The Apostle Peter calls this a living hope. It's not dead, or deluded, or deranged. It's not silly or foolish. We're not dealing with wishful thinking or living in fantasy land. No, this is real, certain hope. And that certainty comes because of our Lord and the Lord alone. It is not in our efforts or accomplishments that give us that certainty. It is in what Christ has done for us. And we see that in the passage that we just had read. Our hope is a living hope because of our great and wonderful God. Now, for this evening, I have 3 points to share with us. That as we're sort of nearing the end, we're not quite done, but as we're nearing the end, that we would continue to have certainty of our hope and that it will cause us to be full of joy, praising the Lord as he deserves. So here they are. Our hope is given, our hope is guaranteed, and our hope is guarded. So let's look at the first thing. Our hope is given. Let's read from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Apparently, a couple of us in our church family have their birthdays today. So a very happy birthday to you. Where are you, Ed? Well, there we are. Sorry to out you there, mate. Now, when it comes to birthdays, we don't treat them like the Oscars or the sort of honours list. The presents we get are not awards. We've not earned them. You know, we don't say for outstanding performance or for remarkable contributions, here, have these presents. No, presents we receive are not earned, they are given. Given out of kindness and love. And that is true of our gospel hope. It's not earned, but given. Given out of the wonderful kindness and love of God. But God's kindness and love is truly remarkable because it's something we don't deserve. God pours out his grace, a great mercy upon us. You see, that's where our hope begins, with the bountiful mercy of God. As Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, all God's goodness to us begins with mercy. This is what the theologian Charles Spurgeon says on this. No other attribute could have helped us had mercy been refused. As we are by nature, justice condemns us, holiness frowns upon us, power crushes us, truth confirms the threatening of the law, and wrath fulfills it. It is from the mercy of our God that all our hopes begin. Friends, think back to how we were before we knew Christ. The scripture lays it out plainly for us. Perhaps none more so than in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We've heard a little bit of that already this evening. Speaking to the Gentiles, including us today, he says, we were spiritually dead, separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship, foreigners to God's promises, without hope, and without God in the world. And yet, wonderfully, we have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And this is utterly and totally the mercy of God. Because without God, there is no hope. Without God, we cannot say there is more. It is from the mercy of our God that all our hopes begin. It is from the mercy of our God that hope is given. And what is this hope given to us? Well, ultimately, we could say that it is eternal life. In our bite-sized slot this morning, we looked at the very famous verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. New life. It begins with new birth. Peter says we're born into this living hope. We might remember Jesus' words to Nicodemus just moments before he makes that great offer, that great promise in verse 16. To enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Now, this is not a second physical birth, but being born of the Spirit. We were spiritually dead, but now we're made alive. We're given new life where the Spirit wonderfully reveals Christ and dwells in us. He powerfully works through us so that every day we are more like Jesus. And for those of us who are trusting Jesus now, we are enjoying that new life this very day. And we can be certain that this life does not extinguish when we die. No, wonderfully, it goes through death and into eternity. This new life is an everlasting inheritance. You see that verse 4? This is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, Peter doesn't really describe our hope. All he can tell us is what it's not. What our hope actually is something perhaps too great for him to describe. Words simply don't do it justice. Yet we can know that it can't perish, it can't spoil, and it can't fade away. You know, it's a complete contrast to the things that we have in this life, in this world. Plants and pets, and sadly people perish. Food spoils, metal rusts, stone cracks, wood splits. Clothing, curtains, carpets get worn out. Patterns and colours, they fade away. And in our digital age, things crash, they get corrupted and go completely kaput. You see, this world is transient and temporary, but the life to come is perpetual and permanent. Our future hope will never lose its value. It will never lose its worth. And that's because it comes from the immortal, unchanging, sovereign God, the author of life, resurrection life. He's the one who gives us hope. Now, we may have wanted Peter to say a little bit more about what this future hope is like, but I guess it is very difficult to describe the sort of indescribable. The Apostle John was granted a glimpse of the new creation, but that was just a vision. But I guess when we piece together what the Bible says collectively about our living hope, we know it will be an eternity with Christ, dwelling with him and all those who trust in him, in endless joy, endless love, endless peace, endless harmony, endless satisfaction. And it's hard to grasp that reality living in this world, but it will be wonderful. And it's all because of the mercy of God. Our hope is given. And because of this, it should bring about in us a deep, genuine, thankful heart. You know, birthdays also mean having to write thank you cards, don't they? You have to show your gratitude to all who have given presents. That was very much demanded in the Arnold household when we were growing up. And I confess I'm not so good doing it now, as I don't have a mother nearby constantly telling me to get on and do them. But how much more should we be thankful to God for what he has done for us? We should be completely bowled over by the grace and mercy of God. We don't need to write a thank you card, but we should be ever thankful in prayer. And we should really lead that with thankfulness when we pray, to look back before we look forward. Because it's very easy to go straight out to our petitions and neglect what we're thankful for. But it's right that we do. And what more can we be thankful for than the wonderful mercy of God? Our hope is given. So that's the first thing. Secondly, our hope is guaranteed. Let's read again verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You might remember the mobile network Orange with the slogan, "The future's bright, the future's orange." Quite a clever and bold bit of advertising, but rather ironic that it now no longer exists. In the UK, it's merged with T-Mobile to become EE. So clearly the future wasn't bright or orange. And of course, there's no guarantee that it ever would be, is there? Now, we might think the same when it comes to the Christian hope. Can we really be certain of what is to come or what Jesus has promised? Is the future bright? Well, Peter says yes. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is our great guarantee. You see, without the resurrection, we just have an executed man buried in a tomb. But because the resurrection really happened, we have instead an empty grave, a risen Savior, and a living hope. At the cross, we see Christ's victory, Jesus' triumph over sin, the world, and the devil. But the resurrection is Christ's vindication. It's the proof that everything he has promised has come true. And so Christ's resurrection, it assures us that there is life beyond death. We have a living hope. And Jesus is the witness to that truth. You know, he wasn't resuscitated, he was raised. And he wasn't just raised to life, he was raised to resurrection life. Do you remember Jairus' daughter, Lazarus? Well, they were both raised to life by Jesus. But they would die again. But Jesus was raised to resurrection life. Raised with an imperishable, immortal body. And so we have hope, not just to be raised to life, but to be raised to resurrection life. We too will have our own immortal, imperishable bodies. If you've been with us in our morning series in Colossians, we've seen that really big view of Jesus, that he has the supremacy. And the Apostle Paul says he is the firstborn among the dead. He was the first to be raised to resurrection life. And Jesus says of himself in Revelation chapter 1, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive. Forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. You see, because of Jesus, we can be certain that we too will receive resurrection life. The Bible often uses the analogy of the harvest to speak of our resurrection hope, that Jesus is the first fruits. The first fruits were the first of the harvest offered up to God, but they were the sign that the rest of the harvest would follow. It's inevitable. And in the same way, Christ's resurrection was the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead, the sign that the resurrection of the dead would follow. And that will come when Jesus returns in glory to bring us home. Notice again that our hope is utterly based on God alone. It's his mercy poured out upon us, and Christ is the guarantee of that resurrection. So we don't need to trust in our own efforts, never sure if we've done enough. We can hold fast to Jesus, the one who guarantees our living hope. Our hope is given, our hope is guaranteed. And here's the final point for us this evening. Our hope is guarded. It's guarded. Peter says in verse 4 that this hope, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Something that often happens at Friday Club, our youth group, is when our young people ask us leaders to kind of look after something. It's usually when we get the bouncy castle out. They ask, can you look after my phone or my glasses or my bag of tuck? That's very trusting with me around. And obviously they ask that because they don't want the things to get lost, they don't want it to get broken, they don't want to get eaten. They want it to be kept safe. But our living hope, which, as we said, is priceless. And wonderfully, it's kept safe for us. God, in his great power, keeps it far out of reach for any who would seek to take it from us. It is kept in the safety of heaven. There could be no greater vault, greater than Fort Knox, greater than the Tower of London, even greater than Gringotts Wizarding Bank, with all its sort of prevention charms and dragons. You see, our inheritance is kept safe. And that gives us peace of mind that it won't be ever taken from us. There's no grand heist or master thief that could attempt to take it. It is fully secure. Now, that's not always apparent, is it, when we go through trials and challenges? Our world is not an easy place to live in as Christians. And for some, it's much harder than others. And we face temptation. We face persecution. And we might ask, will I persevere? Will I get to the end and reach this life, this hope? Will my living hope become a reality? You see, when insults, ridicule, and abuse is thrown our way because of our faith, it is hard to maintain our Christian witness. Here in the UK, we can only imagine how tempting it would be to deny Christ if our life were in question. And of course, for many of our brothers and sisters around the world, that is a reality. And so we should certainly, as we do, be praying for them. But the good news is that God, who keeps our hope secure in heaven, also keeps his children secure on earth. No matter how hard our life on earth is, we can hold fast to the promise that God keeps us. More so, he guards us. Verse 5, Peter says, through faith, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, guarded here means to sort of keep watch over, like a city guard or a sentry on a tower. God defends us against anything bad that may happen. And that is what his promises do for his children. And yet we know that God's protection does not mean that we will avoid suffering. He makes that plain in the verses that follow. So how does God guard us in suffering is to be expected? Well, I think because the greatest threat to perseverance isn't suffering, it's unbelief. Walking away from the faith means walking away from our hope. But Peter promises that God will guard us by his power through faith. In other words, while we must continue in faith in order to receive our future hope, Peter reminds us that no matter how hard life may become, God sustains our faith by his power. So when trials come and doubts arise, we're not left sustained by our own faith, by our own power. By his power, God guards our faith such that no trial or suffering we'll ever face will cause us to lose it. See, the God who gave us our salvation as a gift will also sustain and strengthen our faith through suffering until that day when we receive our imperishable living hope. You see, we have a living hope given, guaranteed, guarded. It's no wonder then that Peter begins the opening section with total and utter adoration and praise to God. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we are called to join in with Peter to praise God for what he has given us. That phrase, praise be, kind of means to say a good word, to eulogize, that is to extol, to exalt, to glorify. You know, we are to wax lyrical about God, to big him up, to use a more modern expression. And just because our mission week is drawing to a close, That doesn't mean our praise of hope leaves our hearts, our minds, or our lips. You know, we don't want to treat Mission Week like a tent that we sort of pack away and only get out 2 years later. Every day we want to be praising the name of our great God. Praising him for the hope we have in him, our living hope. As a final prayer, I'm going to read out a song we might know. There is a Hope. It's one of the Townend songs. I want to use this as a sort of reflection on what we've just been thinking about. If it helps, do close your eyes, but do whatever you think is best. Afterwards, then, the band are going to come up and sing two final songs. So why don't we just take a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to read this for us. There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me, the hope of heaven. My highest calling and my deepest joy, to make his will my home. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there. Through present sufferings, future fear, he whispers courage in my ear, for I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. There is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face. When suffering ceases and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. Amen.
Sad.
How great the chasm that lay between us. I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows. Yeah. good Father, such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Hallelujah. Its grip on me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the the promise, your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the
Christ, yes, our hope is guaranteed. It is given and it is guarded. We praise you. Father, show us that it is not of ourselves, but all that Christ has done. Show us more of his goodness now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me what is your life amidst that vanishes at dawn. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us, and be our steadfast light, and we shall let his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory.
Let's take our seats. It's just such a delight to be worshiping together and worshiping our great God like that. And it's sad when it ends, but wonderfully, it one day will never end. And that's what we're looking forward to, isn't it? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our certain living hope. Please may we carry this hope with us out these doors and into this week. Please help us to be filled with praise as we have been just now. Help us to live a whole life of worship, knowing that we have this wonderful day ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been great to be together. Also great to have some guests with us as well. It'd be lovely if you could stay around for refreshments. We'd love to get to know you as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.